Hey friends, welcome to Worldview Matters. Today, our special guest, Dr. George Barna, Director of Research at Arizona Christian University's Cultural Research Center. And he's done some extensive research throughout the years, and very few Americans actually have a biblical worldview. That's one of the conclusions. In fact, only 4% of the adult population in the nation has a biblical worldview. And when it comes to Christians, the research shows that among adults who, quote, identify as Christian, right, 66% of the population, ready? Only 6% have a biblical worldview. So we're going to be talking about some of this, talking about some of the trends that will shape and are shaping our culture and our faith right now. That's coming up on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, so excited to talk about this because, I mean, look at the title of our podcast, Worldview Matters. It really does. And we've seen through this great research that Dr. Barna has done, we've seen a lot of disappointing results and with the American church and with the nation in general. So we're going to talk about that today with our guest, Dr. George Barna. I also want to mention his recent book, and that is Raising Spiritual Champions, Nurturing Your Child's Heart, Mind, and Soul. We talked a little bit about that last time he was on the podcast with us. Dr. Barna, welcome. Good to see you again. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me back, David. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it is. It's I love talking about this, and my hope and prayer, and I know yours is too, is that we're just not talking about numbers and throwing around results of disappointing research and surveys, but that we are doing something with it, that the church is waking up to the fact that we've got to do a better job of discipling and raising our children and sharing the gospel and preparing the kids before they're too far gone. So let's start today. I wanted to mention there's research on the Trinity. There's research on confusion growing as Americans redefine God. But I wanted to start with these 12 trends that are shaping faith and culture this year. And in the headline, it mentions Trump, baby boomers, mental health, education, church trends, and other shifts that are influencing the direction, really, of our future. Can you just give us an overview of that before we dive into some of the details, specifics?
Yeah, I mean, certainly our culture is always in a state of flux. It's always being transformed from one thing to another. And the question is, who's going to have the influence and what's the culture going to be transformed to? And why does that matter? Because every person within the culture is being influenced. And so it's particularly important for our children because that's whose worldview is developing. But they learn that so often by observing what their parents and their teachers and their coaches, other people are doing in their life. They're learning from that. So it's imperative that we're always on top of where is the culture trying to take me? What's it trying to make me become? More often than not, in American culture these days, it's trying to cause us to become things that are not Christ-like. And so we've really got to be on our toes at all times, not simply taking for granted that what people tell us is true or what an institution does or says is true. More often than not, that's not the case. So we've really got to be awake to these things that are going on. And as we look at these trends, we find spiritual trends, we find financial trends, political trends, relational trends, educational trends. I mean, they're just all over the board. We're constantly being pushed to change. We've got to understand what we're being pushed to become.
When you started off explaining that just now, I thought about Romans 12:2 that says, do not conform to the world's ways or the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've been at this for a while. I think I just read 40 years plus tracking these trends. And I know you did an interview recently with our colleague, Alex Newman. That was with the Liberty Sentinel. He's also with Freedom Project. And you talked about this. And one of the things, I know we're going back because we talked about this last time we had you on Worldview Matters. The fact, were you surprised when you did the research that found only 37% of pastors have a biblical worldview, because that's going to affect everything else. That's going to affect their churches, maybe the youth groups in the churches, and how the Christians respond to culture. Were you surprised at that?
Yeah, I think maybe the element of that research that surprised me the most was looking at children's pastors and finding that only 12% of them have a biblical worldview. I think that goes a long way toward helping us understand why children are not developing a biblical worldview. Their parents don't have one. Children's pastors don't have one. Most of their teachers don't have one. Where are they going to get it? You know, their peers don't have one. So yeah, it's a major challenge. And I don't think that Americans understand just how critical worldview is. Every decision we make, every moment of every day flows through our worldview, influences everything about who we are and how we live. So it's vitally important that we develop the right one and that we understand what our worldview is. And if it's off base, how would we know that? Well, you've got to know enough about what's in the Bible in order to understand, do we match up with what the scriptures teach? If not, then your worldview is off and you need to change it.
We hear oftentimes in some interviews or news programs the term constitutional crisis, you know, or existential crisis or threat thrown around. But you've used that word when you've warned about this declining biblical worldview among Christians. You called it a crisis before. What is it going to take, in your opinion? You've worked with churches for many, many years, for maybe more pastors to be aware of this, to wake up. What do you think it's going to take?
Well, David, for me, a lot of it goes back to measurement. And I know I'm a measurement guy. Maybe you'd expect me to say that. But one of the things that I teach all my students is you get what you measure, which is another way of saying the things that really matter to you, you pay attention to. And you try to figure out, how are we doing in that regard? And so when we study churches and try to figure out, what do churches measure? What we found is that there tend to be five things they measure, you know, attendance, how many people show up, how much money they give, how many programs the church offers, how many staff people the church has hired, how much square footage has been built out. It's great to measure stuff, but if you measure the wrong things, you're going to produce the wrong things. Hmm. And in this particular case, we can ask the question, well, are those five things bad? I would say they're not bad, but they're not really relevant. Jesus didn't die on the cross for those things. So let's measure the things that he did die for, which is that we would all become his disciples. Hmm. And so if we were to measure that, we'd be doing things entirely differently than we're doing them now. We'd be measuring very different things. We'd be getting very different outcomes, and we need very different outcomes.
That's right. Disciples, followers of Jesus. It's very different from just being a cultural Christian, as we see too much of that today. I've heard some fun terms like cotton candy Christianity or cruise ship Christianity. People that don't have a biblical worldview, but just say they're a Christian. What do you see as one of the roadblocks to getting there, to where pastors are going to start looking at these serious trends?
Well, first of all, most churches really don't pay attention to worldview. They teach a lot of information. They transfer that information to people sitting in the pews. But is it really geared to intentionally and strategically developing a worldview? In most cases, the answer is a clear no. And so we've got to recognize we have to start early with people. A person's worldview starts developing at 15 to 18 months of age, is fully developed by the age of 13 in most cases. So number one, maybe what we want to do is shift our emphasis in our churches to children, away from adults. Number two, with adults, who do we want to focus on? Parents. Because they're the ones who biblically have the responsibility for raising children to know, love, and serve God with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul. And you do that by thinking like Jesus so that you can act like Jesus. That's what a worldview enables you to do, a biblical worldview. And so I would say if we were to make some of those kinds of shifts where the church is thinking, actually, we're here to facilitate children developing a biblical worldview so that they can become disciples of Jesus. And in order to make that happen, what we're going to do is support and equip their parents who have that biblical responsibility. We want to do everything we can to ensure a victory for them in that process.
Yes, and sadly, we can't rely on pastors, and especially youth pastors, by the way. I've just heard too many of them that are they're thinking their job is to entertain the kids, keep them amused for an hour and a half on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. But so childhood worldview development, and I've read in one of the surveys that a child's worldview is essentially formed by the age of 13. So this stresses the importance of parents really taking this seriously at home, doesn't it?
It does. And one of the first questions I get from parents who hear me say that is, my goodness, where do I start? And it's a great question. It's the right question. And I would say one of the answers is go back to what we call the seven cornerstones of a biblical worldview, which are seven key beliefs that our research found, if you really own those seven beliefs, you don't just parrot them, but they become part of who you are and how you live. And therefore, you're modeling that for your children, and that'll raise conversations about those elements. What we found is if you really own those seven cornerstones, you're going to have an 83% chance of going on to develop a biblical worldview. But if you reject even one of those seven, that probability drops to just 2%. So it's a great starting place. It forms a fabulous foundation for children to build on and for families to work together toward becoming more Christ-like.
I want to give the website arizonachristian.edu. Is there a simpler link that'll get people to the research, Dr. Barna?
Yeah, culturalresearchcenter.com.
Okay.
That'll get them right there.
That's easier. culturalresearchcenter.com. So before we take a brief pause, I want to go to just part of the 2025 faith forecast and trends that you did in this research. And one of them that, number one, the first bullet point, reshaping God to our liking. Isn't that one of the commandments? Do not make a God into your own image. Go ahead and share a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, really, the first two commandments address that. And what we've got to do is recognize that it's not up to us to determine who God is, who God should be, what attributes of God we like and don't like. What we're finding in our research, though, is that that's what most Americans are doing. When they read about the God of the Old Testament, they don't like him because they think he's a God of wrath and anger and hatred and, you know, bad news. And the reality is he's a God of love and justice and mercy. You got to read the whole story. You got to put it all in context. And when you do that, you come up with a whole different understanding of who am I before this holy, right, and just God. What a privilege I have to know him. He gives me that privilege, but I've got to recognize who he is compared to who I am. It's all about him. It's not about me. He made me. He made me for his purposes, and I have the privilege and the joy of getting to know him and serve him and love him. And what a great life that is when we pursue that. Most Americans don't pursue that. They want to pursue the things that they think are important. And so they're shaping their sense of a deity or a supernatural power around the way that they think life should be lived.
So we're going to take a brief pause, but I'm going to just tease what we have coming up on some of these trends in these bullet points. Public schools will suffer. We're seeing that, and that's been going on for a while. Also, mental health issues are escalating. Rethinking college education is one of the bullet points, and we are going to take a little look at discipleship, but we've talked about this before, but it's important to talk more about syncretism when we come back with Dr. George Barna on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey, friends, just a quick reminder right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. And by the way, to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. So again, freedomforschool.com. to get started. Freedomforschool.com. So back with Dr. George Barna. Before we jump into syncretism, which I find to be so fascinating, because I'm an old school guy, I think about ugly quilts that have been made with all the patchwork, right? And so I think of each one of those representing a religion or a belief or something that just looks ugly, doesn't go well together with everything else. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to give you an opportunity, Dr. Barna, to talk about the worldview assessment tool for churches, ministries, colleges, universities. Tell us about that and how people can get more information on this.
Yeah, you know, because we do have a worldview crisis in America, we thought, well, how can we add value in this process? And we thought, well, what we do is we measure things. And we know that only 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview and much fewer among children. How can we help? So we put together a tool similar to the one that we use at the beginning of every year to assess the worldview of Americans. And we put that online. We've made that available to people. And so acuworldviewassessment.com will get people there, or acuworldview.com. We'll get people to that website where they can check it out. And we've got a version for 4th, 8th, and 12th graders. We have the adult version. Groups can use it, and there can be a group report that comes out. So we've tried to make it easy for people to get access to knowing, what is your worldview? Do you have a biblical worldview? And if not, when you get your report, it will tell you the areas that you're weakest in terms of the content of your worldview. And then there's another section that goes into resources. So we're trying to help people figure out what they can do. If churches aren't going to take this on, we're going to try to do what we can to help people get to where they need to be to know, love, and serve God.
This is so important, because if you don't start with that biblical worldview, you can veer off in all kinds of different directions, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I want to quote you and something you kind of alluded to earlier about thinking like Jesus and acting like Jesus. You say a clear, well-formed worldview is the foundation of transformative faith. And by measuring worldview, we gain the insights necessary to grow in our relationship with God, ensuring that our thinking and our actions mirror the life of Jesus. I think most people can understand that, Dr. Barna, because it's profound and then it's very simple at the same time. But the application is what gets us, right? It's like that question that lady asked you, so where do I start?
Right, yeah. And the reality is, what we've got is much more head knowledge than the application of that head knowledge.
Yes.
When we measure these things, we find out that, okay, we've heard it over and over again, but we haven't integrated it into our hearts and then into our lifestyle. And that's what we've got to really work on. One of the things that I also teach my students, not only get what you measure, but you do what you believe. And so people may parrot back something that they've heard a pastor or a teacher say, or a Bible teacher say, and yet, if all you're doing is parroting it, but you're not living it, you don't really believe it, because you do what you believe. If you didn't, you'd always be at odds with yourself. You'd always have that kind of psychological and emotional discomfort about who you are, what you're doing, how you're living. Nobody wants to be like that. And so we try to be as consistent as possible. But unfortunately, we've learned how to parrot back the right answer sometimes. It's kind of like when you study for a test. You may not believe that E equals MC squared. You may have no idea what it means, but you know that's the answer, so you put it down. Has it changed your life? No, but you want the 2 points on the test. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of Americans are living, is we know how to parrot the right answer. Mm. You know, when in doubt, just say Jesus. Yeah. But you know, do you really believe it? Are you really living it? That's where the rubber meets the road.
Amen. Amen. Application is huge. So now I teased syncretism because I find this so fascinating. We did talk about this a little bit last time, but yet this is part of the trends you're seeing for this year. And it really is astounding. How did we get to this point over the decades, Dr. Barna, that Christians, or I should say those who identify or profess to be Christian, meaning they somewhat understand the Bible, the gospel message, but maybe they don't have a biblical worldview, they got to the point where they're adding different religions or concepts or philosophies, which the Bible warns against, don't be captivated by worldly philosophies. But yet this is what's happening when we're patching these religions and belief systems together and thinking it can still be Christian. How did we get here? Where did that confusion come from?
Well, there are a number of things that happened at the same time that facilitated that. One was that parents began outsourcing parenting. And so they're allowing experts to raise their children, you know, whether it's teachers or tutors or coaches or pastors, whoever it may be. It's like, well, you're the experts, you do it. I don't know what I'm doing as a parent. And so I want the experts to do it. Unfortunately, that's opening door number one to a lot of different worldview ideas being entered into their child's minds and hearts. Secondly, we find that churches have paid very little attention to children. They're basically bait to get adults onto the church campus rather than recognizing, you know what, the future of the church depends on what we do with our children today. Thirdly, we look at the fact that almost nobody measures worldview. It blows my mind that here, Arizona Christian University, the Cultural Research Center, we're the only ones who measure worldview year after year after year in American society. Wow. We measure what kind of shoes people buy. We measure what kind of candidates they like. We measure that stuff ad nauseum. But what matters the most are worldview. Nobody's paying attention to. So we've been seduced away from paying attention to the things that matter. And then fourth, I'd add to that the fact that the culture is influencing the Christian body more than the Christian body in America is influencing the culture. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking our worldview cues from the media, from movies, from music, from television, from video games, etc. So all of those things have to shift if we're going to get back in alignment with God.
Yeah, we're taking our worldview cues from all kinds of other places except the Bible. What could go wrong? So in this research, I didn't mention the number, and it's still astounding to me. 92% of Americans adhere to syncretism. But you say this, the trend is likely to grow as biblical teaching loses cultural influence, but there are signs of spiritual interest among Gen Z, and we've seen increased Bible sales. This gives us a little bit of hope. We're seeing a younger generation that maybe hasn't been discipled, but they may be more interested in spiritual things. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a group that right now is searching to try to figure out how does life work and how does faith fit into that? That's great. We didn't have that same kind of opening with the millennial generation. Mm. So with Z, we can't afford to ignore this. We've got to take advantage of it. But what that means is that we've got to be prepared and we have to be devoted to that activity. So how do we do that? We've got to build relationships and have conversations with them. That's how it's going to work. That's how discipleship becomes effective, is when you've got a relationship with somebody, they know you, they trust you, they're willing to converse with you, and you don't beat them over the head with the Bible, but you ask them a lot of questions about what they're looking for, what they believe, why they believe that, how they came to that conclusion, how they're using that in their life, what kind of impact that's having, what kind of challenges it's raising. All those kinds of things develop that trust even deeper and eventually give us the opportunity to share the things that we've learned, but also not just to talk about them, that's important, but to model them for people. It's one thing to say, well, this is what I believe. But as we were just talking about, it's the behavior that actually has to demonstrate what that looks like in practice. That's how young people learn, is they watch, they're impressed, and then they imitate. That's what we're trying to do with Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus means we watch him and then we imitate him. And so we want to be a Christ-like influence in their life by imitating Jesus so they can imitate us, and through that, they imitate Jesus.
Ambassadors for Christ, so important. We know somebody's watching our lives. They're watching what we do and say as Christians. So that's a very important point. Now, you talked about the escalation, the continued escalation of mental health issues as one of the trends we are seeing this year even more. But one thing maybe we can wrap up on, this is interesting, the rethinking of college education. Could you touch on that before we wrap up?
Yeah, there are a lot of things taking place in the education realm right now, one of which is that fewer students are going to go to colleges in the near future. Part of the reason is finance, but a bigger part of the reason is that our national economy is being reshaped. And so with more manufacturing jobs coming back to the United States, with more technology jobs being developed in the United States, it's going to become much more attractive and practical for many students to go to trade schools or tech schools that prepare them for a viable career in the future economy of the country. So that's going to shape things, as well as many of the bills that are before Congress right now that are going to take away some of the loans and other kinds of scholarships and funding that will be available for students. They won't have the money to go to those colleges. So they're going to say, okay, how can I have a good career? What kind of training should I get for that?
That's very interesting. We're seeing a lot of different trends, from education to the corporate world to politics. My goodness, hello. But a lot of focus is on that now, isn't it? A lot of focus is on the political. But the church, we do need to engage in the political realm, but we also need to make sure we are, as you say, raising spiritual champions, doing the discipling, and building, establishing a biblical worldview. Dr. Barnum, about a minute and a half, just some closing thoughts to encourage young parents, older parents in this battle.
You know, one of the interesting things in our research about worldview has to do with the concept of success. What is success? And in America, we've been led to believe it relates to achievements. It relates to who you know, how far ahead you can get. The reality is, biblically, success is consistent obedience to God. So I'd encourage everybody who's listening to take a step back. And when we talk about you get what you measure, how do you measure success in your own life? Is it about your consistent obedience to God's word, to the principles that he gave us to live in accordance with, in harmony with? And so if that's your measure, you're probably going to get on the track to real success. If it's not your measure of success, you're in for a world of hurt for a long period of time.
Thank you so very much. Again, friends, the website, culturalresearchcenter.com. The book, Raising Spiritual Champions. There's so much more available if you want to learn what's going on, what the trends are, how we got here. Just check out Dr. Barna's research at Arizona Christian University. We so appreciate what you do, and thank you for your time today. God bless you, sir.
Thank you too, David.
Friends, this is so important. I mean, it's in the title of our podcast, man. Worldview matters. It's a huge issue. And as Dr. Barna said, we're in a crisis right now. How will we come out of this? Well, to be continued. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.